Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, July 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. After losing thousands of residents in the early 2020s, the Midwest saw a gain in new people moving from other parts of the country between 2024 and 2025. Housing affordability compared to other states is a major driver.
The market was just unreachable,
especially in combination with childcare costs. The fact that we had two kids at that point, in one in preschool, one in about to be in daycare, the math just didn't work.
Find out which states are gaining and which are losing population coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says citizens skeptical of data centers are right to be concerned. But as STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, the mayor says the city's zoning rules will provide effective safeguards.
As the city makes final changes and prepares to finalize zoning rules on data centers, Spencer says she understands why some are critical of the controversial developments. Last year, Spencer signed an executive order directing city staff to research data centers and produce zoning updates for the developments as quickly as possible. Now those rules are nearing a final vote as aldermen add amendments to the proposed rules. Spencer says the rules need to strike a balance.
I think where we need to land here, where I wanted us to land as a city, is recognizing the economic benefit and protecting the community to the best of our ability.
The mayor says the city must take advantage of the economic growth opportunities that data centers present while protecting St. Louisans. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
And Mayor Spencer and dozens of other business, philanthropic, and governmental leaders spent time this week considering how the region might be able to bring about a renaissance in the area, specifically mirroring that of cities like Detroit. On the panel at yesterday's event was Rip Rapson, president and CEO of the Kresge Foundation. That group helped Detroit rebound by investing around $1 billion over many years. But he says it took more than just grant funding from one organization for the turnaround. It was a citywide effort.
No mayor can pull this off alone. No civic culture can pull this off alone. No nonprofit culture can pull this off alone. And no business community can pull this off alone.
St. Louis faces challenges similar to those Detroit faced more than a decade ago. Dwindling population, high rates of vacant housing, and budgetary challenges. Detroit filed for bankruptcy in 2013. Mayor Spencer says she feels this region is ready for a collective effort.
And for the first time in my lived experience in the St. Louis region, we have the hope and the will to actually get some of that stuff done.
Rapson agrees that he sees the ingredients here for a similar turnaround. St. Louis County school officials are considering merging some school districts in response to declining enrollment and financial headwinds. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports from yesterday's new Public Education Task Force meeting.
The task force is formed in anticipation of the loss of accreditation for Normandy Schools Collaborative in North St. Louis County next year. That change in status could trigger a state takeover in transferring students to neighboring districts, something district leaders say they would struggle to manage. To get ahead of that decision, former state school board member Pamela Westbrooks-Hodge decided to take action.
We've got to figure out how to deliver education that works for the world that we live in today, and we need to do that because the structural reality is that we can't sustain what we've been doing.
The group will deliver a draft proposal to Missouri education officials by the end of the year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
We've learned a 37-year-old man died in custody at the St. Louis County Jail this past weekend. STLPR's Lucretia Wimley reports.
Jail officials say Anthony Holloway was alone in his cell when he was found unresponsive. The medical examiner's office says it didn't find trauma in his autopsy report. That generally means there were no physical injuries. Toxicology results are still pending. Holloway's death marks at least 7 people who have died in custody of the jail since 2020. One person died in 2020, 2 people died in 2022, and 2 in 2023. The most recent death at the jail was that of 39-year-old Robin Marshall Smith, who died after suffering a medical emergency in March. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois regulators have approved plans for a 108-bed hospital in Cahokia Heights. The new $231 million Touche Regional Hospital will replace the health center's location near downtown St. Louis Airport in Sauget. Construction is scheduled to begin next March at a new location, approximately 5 miles southeast of the hospital's current campus, which was built in the 1960s. The new building is slated to open in 2029. Administrators say the new hospital will fill gaps for geriatric and behavioral health care in the Metro East. A 24-bed adolescent behavioral health unit will serve patients between 12 and 17 years old. The Illinois Department of Health and Family Services provided more than half the cost of the new hospital through a grant program that funds collaborations among health centers. A Missouri behavioral health facility is facing allegations that child patients were sexually abused on its watch. As the Midwest Newsroom's Luke Nozica reports, the plaintiff's attorney says other survivors are now coming forward.
The children were admitted to Heartland Behavioral Health Services in Vernon County between Kansas City and Joplin between 2014 and 2025. Two allege they were abused by staff there. A third says she was assaulted under the clinic's care by an adult who was not an employee. Kayla Onder is a St. Louis attorney for the plaintiffs.
These are children that entered the facility, you know, 12 years old, 10 years old, very young children. And it seems as though there was very little to no true oversight.
Onder said she represents other survivors who she plans to add to the lawsuit. The facility's owner says it remains committed to providing high-quality care to patients with special mental health needs. I'm Luke Nozica, the Midwest Newsroom.
We've been talking about the issues and the candidates you'll see on the August primary election ballots. One of those is Melissa Price Smith, St. Louis County's prosecuting attorney, who says she's been planning to seek a full term in office since the beginning of her time in that job. STLPR's Rachel Littman has more from her appearance on the Politically Speaking podcast.
Former Governor Mike Parson appointed Price Smith to the role in late 2024 to replace Wesley Bell after he was elected to Congress. She says the decision to run for election was motivated in part by the people she had worked with in the prosecutor's office for 18 years.
We all had a lot of ideas on how to continue to build the office and so many things that we wanted to do to make St. Louis County safer. So when I made the commitment to throw my hat in for this position, it was a long-term commitment.
Price Smith says she's earned a full term with her focus on violent crime and her work to eliminate a case backlog. She is one of two Democrats seeking the party's nomination. The winner of the primary will face a Libertarian candidate in November. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can find all of our coverage of the 2026 Missouri primaries at stlpr.org. Sam Page isn't running for re-election, and the World Cup is over. But the current county executive is still hoping to keep the momentum for the sport going by spending nearly $15 million to improve Creve Coeur's soccer facilities. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, Page is making his pitch to add three pitches.
Other additions include upgrading the lights and grass turf and adding more accessible parking and a press box. The cash comes from a new state law that changes the way the Dome at America's Center is governed. It lets the county spend $66 million in hotel taxes that had been previously earmarked for the Dome. Page says there's a number of benefits to the additions, like growing the game, bringing in bigger tournaments, making soccer more affordable, and being family friendly.
We need to make St. Louis County the place where people, where families see opportunity for their kids, and that's where we're going with this proposal.
Construction would take about 18 months, and the proposal would need the approval of the county council. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The so-called Midwest exodus of the early 2020s may be over. Instead of losing residents to other regions, Missouri was one of eight Midwestern states that gained domestic migrants between 2024 and 2025. Illinois was not. As the Midwest Newsroom's Holly Edgel reports, housing affordability and social ties play a major role in drawing people to the region.
12 states make up the Midwest, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Eight of those states combined saw a net gain of about 16,000 people through domestic migration. That's a drop in the bucket when you consider the region is home to about 70 million people. Four states saw net losses in domestic migration: Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. Missouri is among the Midwest states that attracted more people than it lost from other parts of the country. And in mid-2026, the state added the Arthurs, a family of four who moved to Kansas City from Portland, Oregon. Here's Brittany Arthur.
The Pacific Northwest was one of those hot spots during the pandemic.
Kansas City is Ryan Arthur's hometown. Brittany Arthur was working in the city when they met. Their careers took them to Portland not long after the COVID-19 pandemic struck.
The pandemic changed a lot of things for us.
The couple was renting in Portland when they welcomed their first child, now 4 and a half, and their second, now 9 months. As local housing prices soared, they realized
the market was just unreachable in Portland,
especially in combination with childcare costs. The math just didn't work.
According to Redfin, the median price for an existing home in Kansas City was about $300,000 in the first half of 2026. It was more than $530,000 in Portland. The Arthurs considered moving to Boise or Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Until we really started watching some YouTube videos about winter there.
Kansas City won out.
We wanted a place where we can walk, we can bike, and I think we're really fortunate and lucky that we were able to find that.
Studies show that people are motivated to relocate by a combination of factors: housing affordability, jobs, climate, tax rates. Social connection is a major driver, too.
And I think what really brought us back to Kansas City was also the web of friends and family and coworkers and people who we have here.
Around the region, communities are trying to attract people from other states. Elwood, Nebraska offers free lots to citizens and legal residents willing to build homes there. Cedar Rapids, Iowa partnered with a company called Make My Move, which connects communities with people looking to relocate. Cash and other incentives lured 30 people to its metro area. Kansas has a grant program that allows communities to offer incentives like cash, money to buy or rent a home, and college tuition help. Here's Matt Godinez, Assistant Commerce Secretary.
At its most raw, it's survival. We cannot recruit these amazing companies and grow these amazing economies that are happening without quality Kansans.
Godinez says affordability is a selling point for Kansas, where the median home price is about $280,000.
I love the look on someone's face from California when I tell them what a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 2,500 square foot home goes for in Kansas.
On the other side of the border in Missouri, life is not perfect for the Arthurs. Daycare costs in Kansas City are comparable to Portland, and there's less of it. Their kids are on several waiting lists. Missouri charges property taxes on personal vehicles. Missouri has sales tax. Oregon does not.
You know, if you go purchase something in Portland and it's $399, it's $399 at checkout, and that's just not the case here.
Still, the Arthurs are glad they made the move.
The great Midwest trade-off. You get more affordable cost of living, but you're dealing with humidity and bugs.
I can see a future.
Brittany Arthur is building her writing business from a home office, an upgrade from the corner desk in the Arthur's Portland apartment, while Ryan Arthur is a stay-at-home dad as he looks for a job. They can afford to live on one income for now. I'm Holly Edgel, the Midwest Newsroom.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.